Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland
on News Talk.
We're broadcasting here out of the Imperial Hotel in Dundalk, and I want to speak to a few people who can give me a sense of the business activity in the town. I'm delighted to be joined by Paddy Malone. He's the PRO of Dundalk Chamber of Commerce. Donal McGill is the owner of the Windsor Bar and Restaurant right here in Dundalk. And Jimmy Quinn is with us from James Quinn Transport. You're all very welcome. Excuse me. Paddy, we might start with you. We spoke to you when we were here in with this show a number of years ago. Things weren't, I sense, as buoyant back then as they might be now. We heard our two previous guests, Conor Skeehan and Eddie Shanahan, giving what I thought was a pretty much huge endorsement of what's happening in your city or town. How do you feel about Dundalk today?
Well, we'd always should come on the town, not anything else. Start. But no, the town has changed completely over the last number of years. Martin McGarrigate, in the bids, which we were the first one to set up, has transformed the architecture, the painting of the town. That was a significant change because it gave a vibrancy to the outer shell that you saw when you walked down the street. Brexit was a problem, but it's no longer a problem from the point of view of goods. We still want it addressed in relation to services. Neither the Irish government nor the European Union or the British have even started the tackle of that particular problem. But Dundalk's main growth has come from the National Development Plan 2040, which identified Dundalk and Drogheda equally as growth centres, the same as the cities of Limerick and Cork.
Right.
And that has transformed the town and transformed the region, because people are now thinking of the economic corridor of the M1. And yeah, we have the website now that sells Louth as m1corridor.ie. And that message is getting through.
Is it true that there are about 20,000 people from north of the border that work in these parts?
It's 20,000 from the whole of the border travel, about 4,500 for the Dundalk region.
Okay, so nearly 5,000 people come from over the border to work here, which is a significant amount.
Yeah, and the other significant figure for Dundalk is O'Connell Street has 2 million people within an hour's drive of it. We have 2.3 million from where we're sitting.
Right.
Because we have the south of Belfast and all of North Dublin within an hour's drive.
Yeah.
That makes a significant difference to the town.
And
the talent pool. Companies like Woosie have come in because of that.
Okay. Let's bring in Donal from the Windsor Bar and Restaurant. Donal,
hello, Bobby.
You're very welcome to the programme. Thanks for joining us. Tell us a little bit about your own business. There's quite a history there, I understand.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, the building itself was built way back in 96, 98, around that era. We bought it in 1984. And it was just a small little bar of grocery that had been owned by the same family for like 100 years. We transformed it into a more modern bar and lounge. And in the 80s and 90s, as my father, Lord of Mercy, saw the change in the social activities, he decided to get into food a wee bit more.
Right.
And hence, we established a fairly successful lunch trade originally. And in 1999, we extended that again to go upstairs, and we opened a restaurant up there as well. So we've a fairly healthy lunch trade and then an a la carte menu at night time in the Windsor.
And Joe Biden seemed to like what was going on there.
Absolutely. Joe, yeah, that was a great wee boost to get last year and very unexpected. Like, there was no, we didn't tout for it or anything like that. We were told on Tuesday he was coming to us on Wednesday.
Suits casing out the place.
Absolutely.
And all,
they took the place over. They'd done the sweep and the whole lot and security checks and put in a sound system that Bobby McCarthy would be proud of later on, and generators outside, and arranged the furniture to accommodate Joe and his homecoming to the area. And it wasn't a political visit. It was, as I said, it was a homecoming for him. And as a person, he was just a very genuine, sincere, nice guy. And we had a couple of lovely moments with him and my own mother, who'd be 90 now in a month's time, and had a lovely little chat. And he was very, very sweet with her, which was great. He was really a nice guy, you know. So, and we got a wee bit of a boost from that. We got a lot of people calling in and looking around at the photos on the wall and stuff like that. And obviously they might stay and have a pint or a bite
really
while they're at it. Yeah.
Now, I want to welcome an old friend of mine, Jimmy Quinn, of the class of 78 from Castleknock College, but also, more importantly, from James Quinn Transport. Jimmy, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thanks, Bobby.
Tell us, you're in the haulage business, Jimmy, very active for many years with the Irish Hauliers Association. A haulier in a Brexit town would seem to be a good thing, but in terms of opportunity, in terms of your situation and the business you carry out.
Yeah, I discovered I'm better paid for minding my own business than everybody else's about the road haulage. I'm going to the conference now after I leave here in Cavan, but it certainly had its challenges, and it wasn't a day a week was nothing to lose at it at the time. But I enjoyed it, and I enjoyed the interaction with politicians. And unfortunately, most of them I met that I wouldn't hire to run my own show. So the last time I was here, Brexit was just after breaking. Boris Johnson in all his magnificence was proclaiming his brilliance to all the world. And I get a bit of a laugh by suggesting he wouldn't get a job washing cars down across McLennan. Well, I suggest he keeps well clear across McLennan for the foreseeable future, because there's a lot of people in this town very annoyed at the headaches that Brexit have induced on a daily basis. And I find myself now many evenings where you have trucks heading for boats sitting at the desk watching the computer, seeing if they're going to get on boats or not boats, because I just ran off the guide last night of the pre-boarding notification of what you have to do before you put a truck on a ferry, and it runs to 65 pages.
Stop.
Yeah, and
stop.
When you open it, there's the salutary lesson to tell you that failure to comply with this requirement will lead to a fine of €5,000 or imprisonment for a term not exceeding 12 months, or maybe both, if you're really unlucky. So that's just to get you woke up. Then after that, you have an alphabet soup of GMRs, ARNs, AES, EORI, AEO, VAT numbers, T1s, T2s,
stop.
ATA carnies and TIR carnies. And I could stay here all day and your audience would fall asleep listening to me.
What's the cost of that to business? If you equate that to the cost of a pallet, or where does that translate to a cost for the customer?
Well, the typical customs clearance fees now on any kind of a load are running into over £100. That's £100, £100 we happened to do before Brexit was announced. Then you have all kinds of difficulties, like if we were in Europe and we could come into England, drop off a piece, pick up a piece, come home, no big deal. We can't do that anymore. That avenue is closed. We find ourselves, if we're in Scandinavia, maybe running to Dunkirk and Cherbourg to catch boats that we should be getting out of Esbjerg, but the paperwork can't be managed. So it's just thrown up a complete and utter mess to a situation that was frictionless and slick and that worked a dream after the single market. We're now gone back to working as we were in the 70s.
Okay.
And I don't think anybody would actually contemplate going back to doing work the way they used to do it in the 70s
yeah,
and 80s.
It seems bizarre.
It's bizarre.
But you've had to change your business model to accommodate it.
Yeah, well, lucky enough, personally, we started a pivot around the port of Rotterdam, and we ship our trailers out and take them home as far as we can. But previously, you could actually catch the Hook ferry on a night and be at you'd a full night's rest on it. You got across England in the afternoon, catch the afternoon boat out of Holyhead, and be home for your tea the following evening. You won't do that if you have to drive to Cherbourg.
Right.
You know,
Paddy, on a more positive note, tell us about what you foresee happening in the townland here of Dundalk over the next number of years.
I think the town will grow significantly.
Yeah.
It's geared for it. As I said, the NDP does not put any growth restrictions on us. We have significant amount of land, as I think Conor mentioned, already fully zoned and planned. The town centre is well positioned. We would see ourselves as becoming a third significant weight between Dublin and Belfast.
Yeah.
The thing that, when we were driving the whole concept of the M1 and Drogheda Dundalk Newry as a concept, what we were afraid of was that we would end up with three dormitory towns and two huge lumps on either end. I think we've established enough companies. There's been companies coming in for Brexit. Amgen is one. There's been companies coming in, FDIs, Wuxi from China, and there are other companies coming in. Wasdale was in, it's gone again, but there's full employment in the town, and there's huge demand. And, you know, we have everything, including the DKIT here, so we're well positioned to grow and grow considerably. I agree with Jimmy. We would prefer if there was no economic border anywhere on the island, but we are learning how to cope with it, and it's not as bad as we thought it was, but listening to Jimmy, it's still a long way to go before we get it right again.
Well, the northern guys have the best of both possible worlds. I mean, they're in clover. They can just whack stuff on a truck in Oma and have it in Liverpool the next day with minimum fuss. But if they try to send that via Dublin, that's a whole different ball of wax.
Yeah,
I was listening to Richie Sunak when he was coming over to try and sell the deal. And he said, you have it, talking to Northern Ireland Business, you have it both ways. You're both the Irish market and you have the European market. And I was thinking, well, you could have had that, but you gave it up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Last quick word to Donal in terms of the future of business. Donal, are you excited?
Yeah, well, you know, we're here a long time and we kind of know what we're doing. But it is challenging at times, despite full employment and all that's going on in the town. You know, costs have gone up, inflation has gone up, VAT has gone up on the top of an inflationary time. So the bottom line has been cut. We can only put our prices up so much to cope with increased costs. And a message out to the government, you know, maybe try and look at that VAT just from the timing point of view. The 9% going up to 13.5% in January, it's costing me €5,000 a month, alone.
Okay, yeah. We'll have to leave it there. I want to thank my guests, Paddy Malone from the Dundalk Chamber, Donal McGeough from the Windsor Bar, and Jimmy Quinn from James Quinn Transport. And we're still here at the Imperial Hotel, and we're broadcasting as part of our roadshow, Open for Business. And I want to talk to some more businesses here in Dundalk. I'm delighted to welcome to the show Tom Muckian from Row River Books, Dundalk's only independent bookshop. Tom, you're very welcome. Also joining us is Marty Fleming from Deluxe Bathrooms and Tiling Solutions. Marty, you're very welcome to the programme. Tom, we might start with you because Eddie Shannon mentioned your business earlier on. It's a bookshop, and you're in your fourth location, is that right, in town here?
We've moved around a bit, yeah.
Yeah.
In search of better business, I suppose. We opened the business about 17, 18 years ago in an existing premises, which was quite small, and then moved within 6 months.
You describe yourself as an accidental bookshop owner, that you were an engineer, I believe. You were working with a developer who had bought the shop, and before you knew it, you were the owner of the shop.
Well, that happened, yeah. I mean, I got a bit jaded with engineering during the Celtic Tiger years. It was all a bit too manic and hectic, and left the company I was with, and a developer that I'd previously worked with had bought a building, asked me to look at it, and that building had a bookshop in it. And he didn't buy it for the business, he bought it for the premises.
So yeah.
I said if he was ever doing anything with it, to let me know. And we sat down, and an hour later, I bought a bookshop.
Good man, yeah. So 18-odd years on then, a couple of locations later, you describe yourself as, you know, there's a difference between a bookshop and a shop that sells books. Give me your sort of theories around that.
Yeah, I think, I mean, we're all familiar with airport bookshops and franchises, and I won't mention names, but they sell books, they sell magazines, minerals, they sell stuff like that. If you go into some of those shops and you ask for an author that's outside the mainstream, they don't know it. They don't really gear themselves in a business sense to order things in, whereas I suppose books have always been a passion for me, and I like meeting authors. I like the creative process that goes into writing. So, you know, we'll do an any book and print service for people. If somebody wants a book that's in print years, maybe of sentimental value, we'll track it down for them. We'll try and track books for people as well. And I find that a lot of bookshops sort of stock their shelves off the top 10 bestseller list, whereas ours, people say you have a nice selection of books. And I think with us, I'm educated by the people who come into us to buy books as much as they're educated by my selection. They introduce me to authors I haven't heard of before. And it's that sort of interactive thing, I think.
And that's what differentiates you. Absolutely. Yeah. Okay, stay with us. Marty Fleming, Deluxe Bathrooms and Tiling Solutions. Marty, tell us about your business, if you would.
Yeah, so I opened a business, it'd be 6 years now in January.
Good man,
Opened up, I was the only one in the business. So I was doing everything from the selling to the accountancy to everything. But gradually built it on up now. We've 22 staff at the minute. Massive game changer for us was launching the online website.
Okay, when did you do that?
So we done that 2 years after we opened. People nowadays, they're more interested in doing their own research at home. So before they even come to the shop, they're nearly coming in with a shopping list. So they can just do all the research at home, check it's going to fit, and then come into the shop just to see if it's touch it and feel it.
And is your customer ultimately a builder, or is somebody who will come in and buy shower fitting?
Our customer is actually the homeowner. So
is it?
And the travel, you know. So we've every day of the week, we've people coming from Dublin, surrounding Kildare, Wicklow, Meath. And then every second or third day, believe it or not, we're getting people driving from Cork, Kerry, Galway, Sligo, every second day.
And do you think the online business is driving that?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Been able to. They're also on Pinterest, Instagram. They're seeing these tiles. They're seeing them then on our website. Where can I go and get them, you know? So we're actually in the middle of opening a second shop now. We're doing a massive renovation on a shop in the Eastgate Retail Park in Cork.
Good man.
And we hope to be open in the next 4 or 5 weeks, yeah. So that's
very, very exciting.
That's really good. Just on the website then, we've seen a bit of an opportunity. And as you spoke earlier on about Brexit, last year we launched the same Deluxe Bathrooms website, but targeting London. So it's a UK company, it's a UK website, and all the stock is leaving from Dundalk, but it's going up through Northern Ireland, up to our Northern Ireland warehouse, and then it goes down next day. So we're delivering to London in 48 hours.
That's great. Well, look, there are two great examples of two great local businesses here. Tom Muckian from Row River Books, my apologies, and Marty Fleming from Deluxe Bathroom and Tiling Solutions. Thank you very, very much for joining us.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.